Praise the Lord, everyone. All right. So we're ready to go, Pastor Ben? All right. Elohim Tov, Kol Hazman, and Kol Hazman, Elohim Tov. Okay, now, before I get started here today while everybody's logging in, I got this long letter from definitely must be a member of our international family we got going here. And I praise God for all of you and for all the support of the ministry and all of the other great things that we're able to do because of the support. We've got Sebastian up and going. He's inside now.
Oh, praise God.
He's got an apartment and he's up and going. So these are just some of the things that you're doing, helping us. And so God really is using the ministry in other ways other than just teaching the word of God, because we got to help people, you know what I mean, as well as teaching the word of God, because our thing is to also do good works, and not that gives us salvation, because somebody will write me on that. Oh, you know, it's because the spirit that's within us urges us to do good works, but it's not what saves us. But we definitely should be doing some good things for people, especially when we're in ministry. So thank you for being able to help all the people that we're able to help in ministry. So the other thing is, I want to get started because we were supposed to do this message last week on the pyramid. And I love the message of the pyramid because there are three things in the Bible, or in the whole spiritual realm of things that God made that are so strong and so godly that we need to understand them. You know, one being the star constellations, and these are three things that Satan has corrupted to make you run away from studying them, okay? And one was the star constellations. I mean, you talk to people about the stars and immediately they tell you, oh my God, you know, this guy's talking about zodiacs. No, we're talking about the Matzaroth. We're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ in the stars. And the other thing is the Star of David. When you look at the Star of David and you understand the math of it, and when God gave it and how he put it inside of Solomon's temple. And you understand that the Star of David in numerical values and everything in scripture, the Star of David belongs to the nation of Israel and not to witchcraft or Satanism when they try to put a circle around it and put their own spin on it. But if Satan is trying to corrupt something, wow. I listened to something yesterday, Pastor Ben, and talking about dealing with one of the Nephilim and the demonic spirits. He said they asked him to create something, gave him a paper and say, create something. And he couldn't. But if you give him something that already has something on it, he can do all kinds of stuff with that.
Really?
So it's like Satan has no creative power, but he can take what God already has and he can corrupt it. Okay, so that's what I have to send you. I'm on a serious study right now, Pastor. The Star of David is another thing that Satan tried to corrupt. The other thing that Satan tried to corrupt is this whole thing here. Okay, if you got, you know, I don't know what crowd we have. You might not be the hip hop rap style guys, but there's a rapper named Jay-Z who calls himself Jehovah, right? And he always does the pyramid when he's on stage, and he tells all his rap listeners to call him Jehovah. And so, and they all raise their hands and they call him Jehovah while he's rapping. But he does this thing with his hands with the pyramid. And then, so it's just a ploy on top of what Satan is trying to do, is to say that the pyramid is something wicked that we should not be looking toward because it belongs, it's evil. It's like astronomy, you know, or it's like the Star of David is from Satan, astronomy is from Satan, and the pyramid is from Satan. Don't look into these things, because if you look into them, you might find what? That God created them first, and then all Satan is doing is trying to corrupt them, okay? So, I'm going to say a prayer, and I want to remind you all that you did not, everyone did not turn in this assignment, and I know you're on your test right now, but the assignment was to write out this prayer, because to me it is one of the most important prayers in the Hebrew Seder, a book of Seder is like a book of prayer. But this prayer here says, "Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us and with his commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the word of Torah." Okay? And the word lagros means to submerge yourself in the Torah. Okay? So God wants us to submerge ourselves in his word. And so I'm going to start off today by saying this prayer, and then we're going to get started. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. So if you bow your head with me, we'll say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav, ve'tizvanu le'asok debari Torah. B'shem Yeshua anachnu telefim, Baruch Ashur hayom, v'akol amecha. In b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach anachnu tefilim. Okay, so I ask God to bless this message and to bless all of his people who are hearing it today, so that we get... Now, I have the beginning of this message, and I know you guys are in the middle of doing your test, but I want us to make sure that we get to the last message in the second book, which is here on page 36. Is that 36? Yep, on page 36. And it says, "Truth about the Great Pyramid." Okay?
Okay, before you go any further,
yeah.
Elizabeth?
Uh-huh.
So Penny, she said, didn't hear you say write it, just write it out, just learn it. And she may be right.
Uh-huh.
She may be right. I'm thinking.
Did I just say just learn it?
Yeah, I don't think you said, told them to write.
Okay, because a few people wrote it out and sent it to me.
Yeah.
And so I thought I said, you know, maybe write it out. So if you guys did not, if it was miscommunicated, that's why I didn't get many of them, then that's my fault. But I would like you guys to write that prayer out, to be a part of the other prayers that you did write out. And keep those prayers, man. Don't get rid of those. Keep those prayers. I would get me an 8x10 frame and put those in, put them somewhere in my house, because these are the prayers that God gave us. So especially the Shema and the Lord's Prayer, which are, you know, very precious to me and I know to God. So. Let's talk about the pyramid, though, okay? Because we have this symbol, and I'm going to show you this on page 38. This is the symbol that is on the back of your dollar bill, okay? And that symbol is on the back of your dollar bill, and it says, "In God we trust." Now, in the middle of that symbol... on top of that symbol is an all-seeing eye, the eye of Osiris, okay? Someone said that if they would land in America and looked at our money, they would think we were Egyptian. Because if you look at the back of the dollar bill, it's a bunch of Egyptian symbolism. And so on the back of our pyramid on the back of our dollar is the pyramid. And of course, it's Anuat Septius, which means, you know, Nuvia Order Secular, which is New World Order and all together is one. So all this stuff that's on the back of our, even with the eagle, you'll see that it has, the pyramid has 13 steps all the way up to the All-Seeing Eye, which represents for them the 13 families of the Illuminati, leading up to the All-Seeing Eye, which is Lucifer. And then in the with the eagle, you have, he has, if you ever count it, he has 13 arrows in one, the eagle has 13 arrows in one hand, and he has a olive branch, and he has 13 leaves on that olive branch. And then above his head is 13 stars, and if you lined it out, you could actually line out the Star of David. So it's Satan's, it was Satan's thing, is that through this corruption, through this deception, that he's going to capture the olive branch, which is Israel, and is going to belong to him. Remember, Satan's overall goal is to sit in the temple in Jerusalem and proclaim to the world that he's God. I'm going to sip some. And proclaim to the world that he's God. So deception is Satan's main vehicle to keeping people in the dark about things that they need to know. Okay. Amen. Oh, so keep, because like the first thing, what did Satan try to corrupt first? Was the first thing that is the Maseroth. The first thing he tried to corrupt was the Maseroth, was the star constellation. And he gave the Babylonians a whole new religion just by corrupting the star constellation, because the star constellation was the word of God at that time. Yeah. And so these star constellations were corrupt. And then out of that, you got Sirius, and you got the Father, Son, and you got all of these things. And then God comes down and he disperses Babylon, and then Babylon spreads out. And then you get Egypt. They come up with Isis and the mother of Horus and all of this stuff. Right. So then you get the whole same religion. So, but around the world, everyone was corrupt in the star constellation. Yeah. So when you come to this pyramid that's on the back of our dollar bill, and understanding that the Illuminati is in charge of the creation of the dollar, with a message on the back of the dollar to emphasize its plan and its worship of Lucifer. Okay. So we're supposed to become scared and say, oh, my God, the pyramid is evil. Let's not ever have anything to do with it. But the Bible says something completely different, and the structure of the pyramid says something completely different. Let me write something on the board here for a second before we get started, because I think here... here we have 360 day years, okay? So a year was 360 days. Oh, okay. That's Sherry?
I think so.
Okay.
Is that Sherry?
Uh-oh, we have a visitor. Hey, Sherry. Come on, have a seat right there, right there. You get right there. All right.
You got us a Sherry.
Which Sherry are you?
Alexander.
Oh, my goodness. How are you doing?
Okay.
Wow. It is good to see you.
Our way.
Oh, wow. Sherry Alexander, one of our students, is here live for class.
I say here. I mean,
she's really here. She's in the house. Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. So you can say hello. Just come up here. You look great. Okay. Here's Sherry. With Pastor Stanley. She busted in our class this morning. Knocking on the door right in the middle.
Hello, my YouTube family.
Hey.
Okay.
So. She's still taking the Hebrew class, right? You said you're taking it at your own pace, yes. But you're still doing it, okay?
65 years old.
Man. All right, yeah. So, yeah. Wow. She told me on the phone. I was like, wow. Okay, so thank you for being here.
Yeah.
I love you.
God bless you all.
Okay. Wow. Awesome. So let's get everybody back on this. Now, The main thing we have to realize is that a year, how long is a year? How long is a year? Three. How long does it, how many days are in the year? How many days are in a complete year?
365.
Right now, today.
Today is 365.
365, okay? And that measurement didn't happen until, I'm believing this because I'm going to go back to my studies, but I think it was 712 BC, something happened that caused the shift of the earth. And by causing the shift of the earth, also caused, can you still see that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Also caused the earth to change its axis, and then the earth began to rotate at a slower pace, and then now a year became 365.2422. So now a year became this. So now we have a year is 365 days. 0.2422 makes up a whole year. Okay? But before, all of the counting was 360 days was a year. And a matter of fact, the Lord says the days will be shortened during the tribulation because they're going to go back to 360 day years. Okay? Because you're going to have 1,260 days as the first half of the tribulation, and it'll be 1,260 days after, and then 360 times 7, okay, will equal the 2,520 days, which will make up the seven years, okay? Now, okay. So now from the time they came out of Babylon, also there was 2,520 years, but 2,520 years, I mean, days equals 7 years. Okay. Now, I want you to know this because understanding that a year used to be 360 days to make a full year. And then after this time period, 365.2422 now makes up a year. Okay? Now, we're going to read about the pyramid. And if you go back to your page 36, we're going to read about the pyramid. Because, you know, black people, we like to go, the Asiatic black man created the pyramid with our genius of mathematical skills and the University of Egypt. That's how the pyramids were created. And then the pagans say, oh, no, the gods came down from wherever and they created the pyramids. OK, neither one of them are true. OK. Because we're going to go with what God says, because we know the Bible is true, okay? And then you'll see something that is so remarkable that only God could have built the pyramids with its measurements and structures, okay? Now, it says here, at the top, it says, the truth about the Great Pyramid of Giza, the origin, the Great Pyramid of Giza is a phenomenal sight, one of the ancient wonders of the world. The Great Pyramid still produces awe and wonder because of its immense size, chamber design. We're going to talk about that probably next week. The chamber design of the pyramid is the same chamber design that God built your heart for valves, which is crazy. That the design of the pyramid, the interior structure of the pyramid, is the same interior structure of your heart valves. Okay? Now, it has perfect dimensions, and many scholars have developed remarkable theories about its true origin and purpose. The most popular theory is that the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, serves as a huge tomb for ancient pharaohs in Egypt. In fact, most pyramids, the ones that were built after it throughout Egypt, were constructed for the purpose of being burial sites, okay? However,
There is now plenty of evidence to show that the pyramid is a unique structure not intended to be a traditional burial tomb. The Great Pyramid of Giza, the dimensions, okay? We have a study on this. What I'm about to read to you right now, we have a study on this because Pi, Genesis 1, is the completion of Pi. And to say that, when someone told me that at first, we had to do a study in the second half of our Hebrew class to show you that Pi is completely structured by God. Okay? But we'll go back over that, okay? Because it says the dimensions of the Great Pyramid of Giza, also known as the Great Pyramid of Khufu, reveals incredible mathematical insight. The architectural structure process knowledge way ahead of its time. That's important for you to know. The math is way ahead of its time. It's built way before 712 BC. Mm. Okay? But it does something that only God could have known and only God could have done, okay? And it says here, the architectural process knowledge is ahead of its time. In fact, we know that the pyramid solves one of humanity's most difficult mathematical challenges, the squaring of a circle. The radius of a circle equals the height of the pyramid. Then the circumference of that circle equals the perimeter of the pyramid's base. Indeed, twice the height of the pyramid divides into the distance around its base equal nearly perfect pi. Mankind has only recently been able to calculate pi to the level of the mathematical accuracy. Now, that sounds like Greek to me when you read it, until we studied it in the second portion of this Hebrew class, okay? But listen to this. The length of each side of the pyramid's base is 365.2422. Mm. The same amount of days, right? The length on each side is 365.2.22 royal Egyptian cupids or a pyramid cupids. Amazingly, our astronomical year has the mean length of 365.2422. Then it says 4 or 5 because it goes like infinity. It's solar days. It says also the parameters of the base of the pyramid is 365.24 parameters in inches. Okay, so the length of a year is expressed in days, calculates of the such accuracy weren't known in the mainstream mathematics until the 20th century. So we didn't know the measurements of the pyramid until the 20th century, and we couldn't calculate the precise time of a year until the 20th century because our math wasn't advanced enough.
Wow.
Okay? But God's math was already perfect. Okay, because we've got to say, if God created the pyramid, that means he's created the mathematical structure and the interior valves that are the same as your heart valves, okay? Mm-hmm. So, here we go. Let's go here. This is one of the things why I don't mess with God. I'm like, you are God. There's only one person that could do what you have done. No one, because some of the things people try to tell you that, you know, aliens wrote the Bible, come on, okay, then that means aliens had to create the world because there's so much accuracy in the Bible that is beyond your mind, okay?
Amen.
So, let me finish again. Calculations of such accuracy weren't known in the mainstream mathematics until the 20th century. Many additional proportional phenomena and mathematical mysteries related to the pyramid have been identified, purposed, and or studied clearly, this is a remarkable ancient structure, okay? The Pyramid of Giza, purpose for God. Just as the instructions were given to Moses, right? God gave him mathematical instructions and everything of exactly how to build the tabernacle. And he gave Noah mathematical accounts of how to build the ark, right? So here is God speaking in Isaiah 19 and 20th verse. And this is God speaking. He says, in that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord at its border. Okay? So God's saying, okay, it says in verse 20, it will be a sign and a witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When the people cry to the Lord for help against those who oppress them, he will send them a savior who will rescue them. Okay, so this pyramid is sitting there when the people cry out to God for him to send a savior. Okay, so before Moses gets there, it's possible the place was already, it was already there.
Yeah.
Now, some people say, well, that scripture is speaking about Jesus. When they cry out for Jesus, then he will rescue, he will rescue them. What it's saying here is it will be a sign and a witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt when the people cry out to the Lord for help against those who oppress them. Well, rather this sign will be a sign at the end of times, or this sign was a time at the time when God, because it says he will send them a savior who will rescue them. Rather, that was Moses at the time of then, or Jesus at the end when the Antichrist is oppressing the whole world. But if the pyramid was sitting there in Egypt before the Savior came, who was Moses, to rescue the people out, that means it was sitting in Egypt way before 712 BC. That means, now, there is a great earthquake that took place and is mentioned in one of the prophetic Bibles, one of the what they call the small prophets, or the, it is mentioned about this great earthquake that took place. When the earthquake took place, all of a sudden, all these dates and calendars were all messed up, right? And people couldn't understand, okay? So they kept trying to adjust the calendar. But when they had to understand that the earth had been changed to 365 days, 0.2422, so it changed. Now, if it changed to exact this, then the only person who knew that a year was going to change to 365.2422 is the same person who built the pyramid. So you go, okay, wait a minute. God made a pyramid with anticipation that he was going to change the time of a year from 360 to 360. Now, I don't want to like really bore you with math, but from this time to this time, if you do the calculations of the I'm trying to use a word because I was going to say differentiate. You would find that when you do this with this and you start calculating all the way to 2017, you come to 39 additional years. And then when you get to, it's like 40 additional years, but it's 39 additional years when you hit the 6,000th year. So the 39, of course, is 13, 13, and 13, which is the 39 stripes that Jesus took on his back.
And so all of these calculations are God is doing this math so he can speak more about who? Because Jesus Christ said what? All the scriptures is about him. Okay. So when you do the calculations of the numbers, and I have it in my 6,000 year count, someone said, why did you put all of this in? The count was already counted. Because I wanted to show you that God gave us an additional 39 years before the end of the 6,000th year. So before the rapture, the world will have been graced 39 additional years, okay? Which is 13, 13, and 13. So he puts Corinthians in the book, right? And it's the 13th chapter, right? It has 13 verses, right? And there's 13 characteristics of love, okay?
Wow.
So therefore... So what are we talking about then? We're going, okay, God is doing the math on the pyramid in anticipation of the future things. Because remember, he hadn't wrote the New Testament yet, you know. And people say, oh, well, God didn't do the chapters and the verses. Of course he did the chapters and the verses, okay? Because what other reason would the book... The book that is talking directly about love, which if you spell it out in Hebrew, the word love is a numerical value of what? 13. Okay? So if you spell out love in Hebrew, it has a numerical value of 13. So you go to Corinthians, and when he's talking about love, which we don't see in Hebrew, but so we don't know that the numerical value of love is 13, but we're reading it, right? And we read about... When we read those 13 verses in chapter 13, and it gives us 13 characteristics of love, okay? And so God is letting you know the math that is in the scriptures is from God, okay? Now, let's continue to look at this because we want to look further at this thing, okay? If you're on page 37... We're going to read something that's very interesting, okay? It says, indeed, two Egypts are mentioned in the Bible, Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. When the text is focused on one unified Egypt, the Hebrew word matzor is used because the word for Egypt is matzor, okay? But it says, however, when Upper and Lower Egypt are referenced, as in Isaiah's scripture, the text is used the Hebrew word Metzorim, which means two Egypts. Okay? So there is an Upper Egypt and a Lower Egypt. Otherwise, God wouldn't call it Metzorim, because to say two in Hebrew, you just put an S on the end of the word, and that means two. Like Shana is a year. Shanim is 2 years, right? Okay. Okay, so then you go Shalosh Shanim, you know, like this. But when you put that S, it just means two. So there's two Egypts, Upper and Lower Egypt. So let's see what God did here. It says, remarkable... Geographic studies have been done, including the hydrograph and the satellite imagery, confirming that the Great Pyramid of Giza is located directly in the middle of Egypt on the boundaries between the two ancient Egypts. In fact, listen, Giza in Arabic means at the border. It means border, right? Now let me. The word Giza, where the pyramid is, the word Giza in Arabic means border. Let's see what God wrote here. It says in Isaiah 19, in that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border. Okay? The word Giza means border. Okay? So The pyramids of Giza, so the word Giza means is at the border. So God is putting it right there in the middle of the Mitzarim, the two Egypts. Amazingly, the Great Pyramid is a pillar and a border between two Egypts, while also in the midst
okay, in the midst, the Hebrew word batok, which means within, okay, or when in the midst. And it says, the prophecy of Isaiah is continued, continues like this. And it says, it will be a sign for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. They will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a savior, a mighty one, and he will deliver them. Okay? Okay, so it says here, it says, the Great Pyramid of Giza, okay, and the cornerstone. We're going to talk about that next, because we want to say the pyramid is exactly where God said it would be. It would be in the middle, and it would be at the border. So the pyramid is exactly where God says. So now if you go look at Egypt, the pyramid lies in between upper and lower Egypt. So it's in between, but it's right on the border. Okay? So God's word is correct. It's exactly where he said it would be. Okay? Now, we get to the other thing. The pyramid has no capstone. Did you know that? There's no capstone, and there's never been a capstone on the pyramid. The capstone will be the stone that was rejected. And that will complete the mathematical thing of pi. Okay, now watch this. Okay. Okay, here we go. So it says, the Great Pyramid of Giza, the cornerstone, throughout the ancient scriptures, Jesus Christ is compared to the chief cornerstone of a structure. Usually, the cornerstone is the foundation of a building. However, a pyramid, the cornerstone is at the top, so which is called the capstone. So who's going to be the capstone on the pyramid? So why did Satan put the all-seeing eye on top of the pyramid? He's trying to say, I'm going to be the cornerstone. I'm going to be the capstone on the pyramid. Lucifer is putting his all-seeing eye on the back of our dollar bill to proclaim that he is going to take the rulership over Messiah Christ. Okay? Let's continue reading this, okay? Isaiah 28:16 refers to Christ as the precious cornerstone. Zechariah 4:7 refers to God's future placement of a stone on top of his completed structure. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Okay? That's in Zechariah 4:7. God is saying, in the end, when the end days comes, he's going to bring out the stone that's going to complete the pyramid. Okay? And the people will bless it and praise the true stone, right? David also refers to the Lord in connection with the future capstone. It says the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in his eyes. Psalms 118, 22, and 23. Okay? So the stone which the builders rejected. Remarkably, Jesus Christ applies this same prophecy to himself, showing that he was the rejected stone. Israel rejected him as Messiah under the leadership of the Pharisees and religious teachers. So Jesus used David's psalm in Psalms 118 to make his dramatic point before the crowd. Matthew 21, verse 42 through 44. It says, later in one of Peter's great sermons to the Jewish people, he returned to the same prophecy, speaking about the truth of Jesus Christ. He is, this is Peter says, he is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. But in Zechariah 4:7, God refers to a future placement of a stone that will be placed on his structure. Okay? So the capstone has to be placed. Now, isn't it remarkable, all of these years that pyramid has sat there, nobody has ever said, let's build a capstone on top of it.
Right.
Okay? Now, I want to express this. Out of all the things that have happened on the earth, earthquakes, weather, all kinds of things that have happened, the pyramid sits there, never tampered with. Nobody has ever said, we need to go and refurbish the pyramid. The stones are solid and the monument remains. Why has it remained there? And why has it remained there with no capstone on it for all these years? Because God says he's going to place the capstone on it. And that capstone is going to represent the stone that the builders rejected, which is Yeshua. And it will be placed because that pyramid is built as a monument and a prophecy that God put it there. And God is going to do something in Egypt. Okay? He's going to place the capstone. Okay, let's... Okay. Today, it is very interesting to know that the pyramid has no capstone. In fact, there is no historical record of any capstone ever being seen on the pyramid. Something to think about as we enter that day. Okay. So. That's all I need. This is the lie.
Oh, yeah.
This is Satan's man. See, this should let you know that we're in a spiritual battle. Because the person that made this dollar bill, the person that made this dollar bill has a plan.
Stay right there, Pastor. Don't move.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't have a $1 bill on me, but on the back of the $1 bill, you have this eagle, right? Some people say it's an eagle. Other people say, no, it's not an eagle. It's a phoenix. Okay, she's quicker than you.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
Let me have that. Yeah, thank you.
Right on
time. All right, right on time. We needed you here today because me and Pastor Ben don't have a dollar. We ministers. Like she said, we can keep it. Sherry is funny. She said, you guys can keep it. I feel bad for you. Okay, now, on the back of here, we have this eagle, which Freemason says is a phoenix rising. 13 arrows in its right hand, and an olive branch, and an olive branch with 13 leaves. And someone said it has 13 leaves. And I counted it 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I was like, you're right. It has 13 leaves in the hand of this eagle. And it says you can draw the Star of David within those 13 stars that's above the eagle's head.
That's crazy.
You can draw the Star of David in there. That's one of the 13, that's one of the Star of David. So now you go, oh my goodness.
Thank you, baby.
Lucifer, so someone would say, oh my goodness, Lucifer is in, why would they have the Star of David on top of the eagle's head? And then this eye of Osiris over the pyramid, and you got to take a step back and look at what Satan is trying to corrupt. Because if he's saying Lucifer is going to be the capstone, he's lying.
Yeah.
Because God in Zechariah said that Jesus is going to be the capstone. Jesus says he's going to be the capstone. Peter says Jesus is going to be the capstone. Mm-hmm. Psalms 18 says, look, when it does happen, a stone has been placed on a pyramid that is great in God's eyes. And we're going to sing hallel and praise to the capstone that was rejected, but is now going to be on top of the pyramid during the 1,000-year millennium that we reign. We will be able to go to Egypt and see a capstone representing Yeshua.
Amen.
Okay. It'll be a monument to God. Okay. Now, so you got this star. So why would Satan try to corrupt Israel? And you notice that he picks an olive branch. Mm-hmm. Who represents the olive branch?
Yep.
Israel. So this whole thing is, so you can be one of those crazy people that says, see, I told you the Jews are evil because you're not studying. What did we read in that Manly P. Hall book of Satan, where Satan says, I will not return and grant you eternal life. This is their scripture. He says, I will not return and grant, the followers of Lucifer will not be granted eternal life, because he's promising them he's going to give them resurrection and eternal life. He's a liar, first of all. So, why you would believe him, I don't understand. But that's one of the promises. But in the scripture, in their Bible, it says he won't return until they build a structure in Israel where he can take his seat. So what is the main objective of the Illuminati? Is to build the temple. Every president we've ever had has said, we've got to get peace over there because we got to build the temple. Trump does something crazy because he announces the Jubilee and then he says we're going to move it to Jerusalem, and they're talking about rebuilding the third temple.
Yep.
The Illuminatus and the Satanic people are cheering because they want this temple built, because in Thessalonians, what does it say? The Antichrist will go to Israel and will sit in the temple and proclaim to the world that he's God. So that tells you the objective of Satan when he is kicked out of the heavens in the middle of the tribulation down to earth. When he gets here, he does not go to Rome. He goes to Egypt and he kills the two prophets and he sets his temple up and he sits in the temple and declares himself to be God. And at that time, you have the abomination of desolation, and then his destruction begins when he goes into that temple. Okay? So what are we doing? I'm trying to show you that the pyramid is a beautiful structure from God. He built it. The math in it, he built it. The angles in it, he built them. They lead you to Jerusalem. Okay? Yeah, and that's a study that Dan Madsen did. Okay, but let me tell you, that pyramid is God's structure.
Yeah.
And he wrote it in Isaiah, and he said, I'm going to put a pyramid of Giza, which means the border, in the middle of Egypt, which is right in the middle. And he tells you exactly where it's going to be, and he doesn't put a capstone on it. And his Messiah comes, and he says, by the way, I'm going to be the capstone on the pyramid. It's incredible, okay? As we're moving past the second book, you guys are almost at a certificate for the school, but we have another test and then gematria, right?
Yeah.
And then we have gematria. So let me see, did I bring, I'm done with time, aren't I, Pastor Ben?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm done with time, but I was trying to find some of the things that we're going to be going over in, so I just want to tell you guys some of the things. Okay, the marriage, one of the things that will be sent out to us will be this thing called the marriage of two alphanumeric languages, meaning that God chose two languages, right? And these two languages, God married them. Why did God choose Hebrew and Greek? because the letters are also numbers.
Yeah.
Okay? So therefore, as you're writing, you can also do mathematical equations that are so perfect, and then you can math, you can match the math from the Hebrew to the math in the Greek and see how they merge, and then you go, who did this? Okay? Because now you can't say man wrote the Bible.
Right.
Because now, then we're going to do one of the favorite things that God does, okay? Because in the scriptures, like in Genesis, every 49, every 50th letter spells out Yahweh. Then in the next book, in Exodus, every 50th letter spells out Yahweh. Then in Leviticus, it doesn't do it. But then in then 49 letters backwards, okay, in the next two. And then they all point to the middle book, which in every 8th letter says Yahweh, okay? So we want to know, if man wrote the Bible, did he take time to do that? You know, because I would. So you have to get away from this, the silliness, as you take this class, that man wrote the Bible. You have to equate everything to God so that you can understand that the book that you study, that you read, that has promised you eternal life is not only true, but God is proving that it's true by the structure of the way the book is written, by the historical events that it speaks of that come true. Okay? The whole world's going to know God is God when the rapture happens.
Oh, amen.
Oh my goodness. You for every unbeliever, you will not be able but you know, the scripture says that there's going to be a great deception, and they will believe the lie because they didn't want to believe the truth.
Yeah.
So when they tell them, you know, oh no, the aliens took all the bad people and we're going to be okay because the Christ is here. Yeah, the Christ is here. Yeah, they've been in a way of a utopia, but the aliens took all the bad Christians out of the world, and now here's the Messiah, the Christ, and he's going to bring utopia to the world. Take his mark. We're not going to have paper money anymore. We're going to all have marks, and we're going to take your mark within your hand, and they're all just going to gravitate to him, you know? And you go, oh, you Christians have so many incredible... You know what the truth about our beliefs are? History was pre-written before it happened, so that you know the God that wrote the book is God, okay? And then when we get through gematria, you're going to go, God's ridiculous.
God's crazy.
Why would he go through all those mathematical equations and put his signature throughout the scriptures?
Yes.
Just so no one can... Thank you. I'm glad you're here. So no one can take credit. No one's going to take credit for the word of God except God.
Amen.
Okay? And when it's fulfilled, you will know that it is God. Praise God.
Amen.
So, a little more pyramid information next time, because I want to show you the heart valves. Incredible. Okay? I want to show you the angles that guide you straight to Jerusalem. And so you can just go... You can be like I was when I studied it. I was like, this is incredible. God is God. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
So let's sing out. Yivarekeka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panavileka v'chudeka. Yasei Adonai panavileka v'yasem l'kai shalom. Le'itriot b'shavua chaba. We will see you next week. And continue turning your test in. If you can find the time, but you can wait surely until after your test is done before you write my favorite prayer, which is on page 3, which commands us to soak yourself, to drench yourself, to submerge yourself in God's word. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. See you next week. Hallelujah.
I did pray out.
All right.